Hello, welcome to another episode of the Candid Cast. Today, I'm featuring a guest who is one of our very good followers, and she has been so interested in the Candid Cast program, and she has benefited so much from it. But today, she's in the studio to ask questions, make clarifications. I believe some of her concerns that she wants to ask are also the concerns of a good number of our followers. By following the answers to her questions, you will also get clarifications on episodes that we have run in the past. Join me to make welcome Mrs. Toni Omolaoye.
Yay! Thank you very much, sir. I must say thank you for this opportunity to be here with you to ask questions, probing questions directly. And I'm also trusting that we all will get clarifications. It will be quite insightful for us. So I have a few questions to ask. I like the fact that you exude so much positivity, the fact that you do not see any limitations. And looking at the situation going on in Nigeria at the moment, it's quite discouraging, especially for many youths like me. So I like you to please tell us, I've listened to your podcast on surviving tough times. Please, can you emphasize on how we can indeed survive these hard times in Nigeria?
Thank you very much. You know, in that video, I said tough times are not new. And let me make clarification. For those who are Bible scholars, you find that Abraham had tough times. He left the land of Cana, went to Egypt. Isaac had a tough time. He planted in the land of famine. Jacob had a tough time that sent him and his family to Egypt for survival. There has always been tough times. And growing up in Nigeria, I have never known any time. The time that is not tough is in the future. All the times past have been tough. But from age to age, from generation to generation, you have always had people who made their breakthroughs in tough times. It is the tough time that help you to discover your talent. Without challenges, without problems to solve, there is no invention, there is no discovery. So tough times are opportunities for invention, opportunities for discoveries, opportunities for advancement. I'll tell you one of the things that set us back, like in the area of the energy sector in Nigeria, is our weather. The climate is so good, anybody can survive any time on natural weather. Just tell me, if you are in a place like part of Canada where temperature goes to minus 12, minus 13, and you will have power failure, you will solve that power failure problem within 2 hours. Because everybody will freeze to death if you don't solve it. When we have so many things that we call comfort, oh, God has so blessed Nigeria, and that has set us, our brain, we put our brain in a locked mood that we need to do a reset. It's just a little bit of thinking. You identify the problem around you. For every problem, God has put something in you to help you to discover a solution. Problems are solved by men.
Thank you very much, sir. So that clearly explains that whatever adversity that we think we may be going through as a nation or as individuals, it shouldn't break us, right? Yes, it should encourage us to search more within to find solutions. Okay, speaking on that, sir, I'd like to ask a question. As regards, it's a personal question, sir, if you don't mind. Like, what particular problems did you encounter? What challenges did you encounter that paved way for probably a potential success story that you have?
Thank you very much. I would say, you know, one of the things that I have learned is that 65% of global billionaires came from poor family. Wow. So poverty is a very good ingredient for advancement, for growth. When people, prosperity locks the brain. There is something, we went to Lagos Business School and they were teaching us something about the three generational wealth cycle. And it's a global thing. The grandfather bought land, the father built, the son sells.
Wow.
The grandchild begs for food. So it's generational. I came from a very humble background. I gained admission to the university. My father didn't have any money to send anybody to the university. So out of 12 children, I was the only one that went to university. Because I was younger and I had so many seniors ahead of me, everybody contributed. Somebody put a little, and I put a little for me to go through university. And I have to join in the trade that they are doing. Like, my brother was selling Gary in his solo market. I was going to Delta to buy Gary and bring to Lagos. You don't pass through those ones and you won't have your head correct. So if your father will buy a car for you before you graduate, the chances of thinking the way I am thinking will be very remote. If you have houses to inherit, I know that I won't live in a house until I am able to rent one. I know that I won't wear a shoe until I'm able to buy one. There is nobody nowhere this thing is coming. You are not going to inherit one naira from your parents. Your head will reset. So when people talk of poverty, I heard somebody say he went into stealing because of poverty. I say, no, it's not poverty. Stealing is inside you. Poverty teaches diligence, hard work, integrity, building trust of people. Those are the things that you get from poverty. Poverty shapes division. You look at people ahead of you, those who have succeeded in the past, and say, I want to be like those people. Poverty will help you to choose your role models aright. And when you do, you find that the sky cannot limit you.
But sir, I thank you so much for that. However, there's this bridge that every individual has to cross. That adversity bridge. Unfortunately, not many people get to the other side of it, whereby they begin to, you know, make the most of the experience. Sometimes people drop off with depression, with health issues, so many things. How can they cross through and not allow these things to affect them such that they don't even get to the finished line?
Yes, getting to the finished line. You are talking of resilience now. For every person that had a breakthrough, nobody got there without passing through adversity. He said that no pain, no gain. It's the pains that you pass through. You either allow it to shape you for good or you allow it to break you. But the choice is yours. Nobody can choose for you whether you cave in at the point of pain or you endure that pain. Seeing the other side, ability to see the other side. They always say there is light at the end
of the tunnel.
But how many people want to go through the tunnel? I read something, one comedian, he said, why is the light not in the beginning, at the beginning of the tunnel? That why did they put it at the end? But naturally, light comes at the end of the tunnel. Before every day, your day starts at midnight. Each day starts with darkness, then light comes. That is the natural order of things. So when you are starting, you first get confused. You are looking for the light. You are starting in the dark. You have not passed through that road before. So what is the natural thing to do? A wise person will get role models. Without role model, you cannot play your role well. When I was going into the stock market, I read a lot of books about Warren Buffett. His method of investing and how he amassed so much wealth, starting with $105,000, out of which his own money was only $15,000. Other people's money was $90,000. The last time I read of him, he's worth $144 billion now. When I was going to supermarket, I read the Walmart story, Sam Walton, how he started the Walmart in 1962 or so. He died in 1992, and Walmart is still thriving. His storyline, you must have role model. How did Walmart do it? Their borrowing method, their method of expansion, the vision, what drives it? When you understand those things, you will make your mistakes, but you won't be like somebody who didn't have people ahead who passed through before him.
Thank you very much, sir. So poverty or whatever adversity that we go through should not actually break us.
Yeah.
Yes, it should.
We should use it as a stepping
yes,
stone.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much. Okay, thank you so much, sir. Okay, I like to... You mentioned reading books by Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett.
Yes, and reading on Walmart story.
Yes.
So I understand that many people read a lot of books, but little outcomes. You have read these books and you have significant results. How were you able to apply all of the things that you have read, and then you are able to get all of those results?
Thank you very much. I like this set of questions. You see, even the Bible says that faith comes by hearing. But blessing comes by doing. When I say, people say, where is it in the Bible? It's a combination of picking from the book of Romans to the book of James. Romans tell you faith comes by hearing. But in James chapter 1, it tells you anyone who hears and does not do, he deceives himself. It's like somebody who looked at himself in a mirror and walks away and forget quickly what he looked like. If you will not practice it, reading is useless. It's an absolute waste of time. If you will not practice what you are reading. So whether it's literature, biographies, I read something recently that says successful people, that most billionaires read 52 books a year, one book per week. And that they don't read fictions. They read biographies. You get role models, read about their lives, how they got to where they got to. There are no secrets anywhere in the world. When people say the secret, 10 secrets of success, five, there is no secret of success. What you are calling secret is all in the books. A lot of successful people have written their biography. They tell you how they started, what they did. Recently, I read My Lapo Journey by Dr. Godwin Higamusoy, the founder of Lapo Microfinance Bank. You see everything he did. Nothing about it is hidden. So read biographies. And be determined to do what you are reading in that book.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. Did you ever have an accountability partner? Like someone that you reported yourself to, despite the fact that you were reading on your own, but someone that was monitoring your journey, not like monitoring like that, so that it doesn't look so serious, but someone you were accountable to in any way, such that if you do not read or if you do not act on something you've read, the person can call you and say, what's going on? Did you ever have?
I've never had any such person, because I'm a very different person when it comes to determination and discipline. If I say I want to do something, I don't need anybody to pressure me to do it. If I pick up a book and say I'm reading this book in 24 hours, I'm not waiting for anybody to score me. I'm reading that book in 24 hours and I'll finish it. It's like when I talk of savings, if I say this is the amount I want to save on monthly basis, I stick to it and I'll save it. I don't need another person to come and check on me whether I'm doing it. I have never joined all these, there are Esusu, to people join Esusu, join a cooperative to be able to enforce savings.
Yes.
I save without them. Because when I say this is what I will save, this is what I will save, is a personal determination. And I believe anybody can determine how far he wants to go in life. You just draw your line and say, this is it, without waiting for a third party to come and force you. You are doing it because somebody is watching. No, I don't wait for anybody to watch.
We should really, really learn from you. I like the fact that you are able to do things without having anyone to watch you, which is good, which all of us should imbibe, right? Okay, but were you in any way, in any form of association, maybe your group of friends that inspired you or something? Or everything was just self-inspiration?
I was inspired by poverty and the desire to get out of it. You know, when you see poverty really good, I came from a background, my parents were farmers and illiterate. None of them entered primary school, both my father and my mother. And in the village, you see people, if I tell you, let me tell you how I entered university. When we left secondary school, we bought Jam Form, a group of young people that heard that, they say, please call the university. We don't know anybody that have gone before in our village. So we heard that there is a place called university after secondary school. And people who go there, they become big man, they will have car, they will have big house, they won't wear the dirty clothes we're wearing in the village. And that was an inspiration. So hearing those things, we picked up the jam broke your and started looking at our school set result to find out which course we qualify for. I said, if you read sociology, you'll be social, maybe you'll be at radio station to rap, but there are not enough radio station to employ us. If you read political science, maybe you join politics, but you will not have money to campaign. Then if you read law, you become a big person, police will respect you, you can go and bring out somebody that is arrested from police station. The other person is okay, I'll read estate management. When they build Shagari Estate, Gowon Estate, every government will always build estate. He will be the manager allocating properties to his friends. That was how we canceled ourselves. My friend went in to read estate management. I went in to read law.
A major take home for me today, and I believe that take home would apply also to as many Nigerians as possible, is that poverty is not a setback. It should actually force you to think. You shouldn't be depressed, you shouldn't be sad, you shouldn't be thinking of just jackpot moves and all of that. But what can I do? How can I make my life better? How can I have the life that I have been dreaming about? Yeah. And all of that. Yes, sir.
You are very correct. Robert Kiyosaki wrote a lot about this in the Rich Dad Poor Dad series when he said, never say I can't afford it. Say, yes. How can I afford it? Because the poor dad couldn't afford anything. It's always he had a permanent answer, I can't afford it. But the rich dad could afford. What was he doing to afford? Those are the things that we need to study and look at. All that the rich dad was doing to afford whatever he wanted to afford was developing and strengthening relationships. He hired people who were more intelligent than him. He set out to identify needs in society and try to meet them. Many of us, before you start, you say, I don't have the capital. He never had the capital. He set up businesses that we have capital through banks. So the business, we access funds from the bank. With the fund from the bank, the business will now afford what he couldn't afford ordinarily. And when the business buys property, he has become a property owner. We should always keep our minds open on how to afford those basic things that we think we need but couldn't afford ordinarily on our own.
Should keep our minds open.
Yeah.
Keep our minds open and just know that we can. We shouldn't shut down our minds, right?
Yes.
I can't afford it. So whatever quality of life that we really desire,
you can afford.
Our minds must be opened towards
To affording it.
To affording it.
Yeah.
Yes. But you know, sir, it's someone said, I can't remember who said it, so I can't quote exactly, but he said that if you cannot imagine it, you cannot handle it.
Absolutely true.
And then it is what you, to the extent you know that you can imagine. Like in your village, in my village, for instance, I mean, if I didn't grow up in the village, but I'm just trying to imagine that the finest house in the village cannot be as nice as what we would have in Banana Island, for instance. So if I'm still in the village, I could only imagine to the extent of what I can see, right?
I don't agree with you.
Okay.
Because village is open to the sky. Your village is not a closed cubicle. We were in the village. I grew up in the village. First thing we saw was that there was a permanent secretary who was about the same age with my father. But he was permanent secretary in the city. And he comes home with a private car. It was the only private car that visits the village. And he had driver. And the imagination, your imagination will wake up. How come this man, because everybody in the village want to go to town, you enter 404 pickup, push your 404 pickup, they put benches on both sides, you sit facing each other. And when they want to buy petrol, They call the passengers to bring their money. Bring your money. You want to buy petrol. This man uses his car, pays his driver, never get any passenger to contribute for petrol, and he could afford it. Mm. That's the quality of life I want, not the life in the village. Mm. So that's why I said village is not a cubicle that is sealed.
Okay.
With the through the life of that permanent secretary, I was able to see what city life could look like. That there are some people who own cars, have drivers that can take them, and they can fuel the car without calling passengers to contribute.
Mm.
I wanted that quality of life. And by the grace of God, I achieved it at 27.
Wow. Mm. Okay. Mm, interesting, sir. So is it safe to say that you started to make really giant strides early in life? Like you just mentioned, 27. There are some people who are 40, knocking on 40, and there's really no significant thing. Is there still hope? Or if they missed it early in life, is that all? Is it over?
It's never over until it's over. We read the story of Colonel Sanders, who started KFC at the age of 65. Mm-hmm. And KFC is all over the place. It's never too late to start. The Murray Bruce started the Domino stores, I think after the age of, I think about 55. Mm-hmm. I started Super Saver after my 50th birthday. Whoa. So anybody can start anything at any time. It's never late. What's important is the time at which you realize I am traveling the wrong road. Don't increase speed traveling the wrong direction. The day you discover you are facing the wrong direction, make a U-turn.
Mm-hmm.
And start traveling the right direction. Colonel Sander was in the army, did all manner of jobs, and nothing was working. It was at the point he was contemplating suicide. And he asked himself, is there nothing I can offer the world? He said, but when I prepare chicken, all my friends, they normally celebrate my chicken that my recipe was very good. And he turned it into a business. And that's the Kentucky Fried Chicken that you see today.
Whoa. So it's really not over.
Until it is over. Yes.
Mm. Someone says it's not over until we win.
That's true.
Thank you so much, sir. So, speaking about seeking guidance, mentorship, I know you have mentioned earlier how much you are a self-starter and you are quite self-determined, which I think is a good, I don't want to say it's a rare trait, because many people are self-determined. However, some of us always need some level of encouragement, you know, like, okay, let's get this done. And then we now soar. For me personally, that's how I thrive. We start in a group and then I'll now take off. However, starting, I always need that group. So, sir, did you have specific mentors for different times in your life where you had great results? Were there certain people that you had? Maybe you were following them through books or...
Yes, thank you. Like I mentioned earlier, that if you don't have a role model, you cannot play your role well.
Mm.
The role model may not be somebody you see physically or talk to physically. It may be, for me, Olusegun Obasanjo is a role model to me. That's a mentor that I can see and sit with. He came from a background like my own.
Mm.
And I got inspired that if he can achieve the height that he achieved,
yes,
nothing can stop me.
Mm.
That's a role model for me. For the trading in the stock market, I found Warren Buffett as a role model. He doesn't know me. I've never met him. But I pick up books to read about him because I like his success story and I wanted to achieve the same thing. To run supermarket, I pick Sam Walton as a role model. He has died in 1992. I started supermarket in 2013.
Whoa.
So you can pick somebody who is even no more and look at the life that he lived while he was around and make him your role model. You follow the path that he left. When I talk of somebody, the savings pattern of a worker, an ordinary worker that rose and became great. You can pick that person as a role model. A lot of people look at the negative. And so if you are saving, like when I teach savings, people say, you are always talking about saving. When do we spend the money? You've never told us when to spend. As you save, your capacity to earn is enhanced. And you find that what you were spending that used to be big, you will spend it now, it becomes very small. Because if you don't save and you don't invest, you keep earning 100,000 naira. And spending 80,000 becomes big money in your eyes. But by the time you keep saving, if you cut your savings to 50,000 and you're investing 50, after some time you find that because you of your savings and investment, you are now earning 500,000. By the time you spend 120,000, it looks like you are stingy because of your size of earning. Whereas the person who refused to save, 80,000 that he's spending is still big money for him.
Thank you, sir. So, speaking about that, I'd like you to please explain this principle of compound interest. You have mentioned it in one of your podcasts. And I noted that you mentioned that it's good to start saving early.
Yes.
Especially because it can compound and beyond your imaginations and all. Yeah. So, for the person who has started early, should continue, right? And then the person who is starting late, I'd like you to just throw more light on that.
Okay. I watched something recently. Somebody was giving an option. Do you want $1 million now, or you want 1 cent multiplied every day for 30 days? And the person chose $1 million. It's okay. That's your final answer. The person collected the $1 million. And it asked, okay, let me tell you what you are missing. And he took 1 cent. Day one. Day two, it was 2 cents.
2 cents.
Day three, it was 4 cents. Day five, it was 8 cents. Keep multiplying that something. Across 30 days, the money was over $5 million.
Whoa.
It looks like that's what compounding can do. If you can save and keep money and let it grow, let it multiply, you will be amazed what that money become. 1 cent multiplied every day across 30 days. By 30 days was over $5 million. It doesn't look real before you start calculating it, but pick your calculator.
And I think that a number of people need to have financial education. So if you, especially youth today, if you ask them, they'll say, I save. Right? How much is your savings? They'll give you a figure. However, the question is, what do they do with their savings? They get to save and then afterwards spend. So I think that there's a missing link there.
Yes.
They spend to live large, to buy a car.
Yeah, because of the rate of inflation in our environment, saving on long term is not advisable because inflation will erode the value of your savings. You must quickly transfer your savings into investment. That's where it grows rather than get devalued. If you save, like raising my children when they were growing up, I had envelope for each of them with their names written on it. So if you get any money, maybe a visitor gives you money, you drop it inside that envelope. Once it's up to 2,000 naira, we transfer it to the stock market. So CSCS account was open for each of them before they were 5 years old.
Wow.
And that money was...
I just got a take home.
Yes. I was transferring that money. Then if you already have a CSCS account, with 2,000 naira, you can buy shares. So you keep buying and building it up. But you'll be surprised when you check your account. In my house, there was one popular saying that we say money from post office. Then dividends were coming in the post office. So every time I go check post office box, you see that there's check for literally everybody in the house. You have your money. And that was an encouragement, an energizer to invest the more. There is return on investment.
So we shouldn't spend all.
No, don't spend all.
Spend all.
That is one. Save. When you save, quickly transfer your savings into an investment so that inflation does not make nonsense of your money. If you buy anything and keep over time, hold your money in asset, not cash. Liquid cash depreciates, but assets appreciate. That's why the poor has cash. That's why the poor takes money to bank. The rich has assets. If you are talking of the money in the bank, I say, who owns the money in the bank? It's poor people's money. The aggregate of poor people's money in the bank, the poor goes to the bank to save. The rich goes there to borrow it.
Thank you so much, sir. Please, can I ask a personal question?
Yeah.
To the extent that God has helped you in life, you've had everything that you have dreamt of. Do you think that your marital decision had anything to do with it? Was it a plus, or it was just, either ways, it could have been the same result?
Well, the marriage is a determinant for most human beings. Your happiness, your success, your achievement is largely determined by the person you marry. If you marry the wrong partner, your productivity will drop. It will drop. That's why for me, I will counsel anybody, don't make marriage an emergency. I just see somebody, this person, I'm in love. You need to know the character of the person. You need to know the values of the person. You need to do harmonization of value. What two of you want. Or else, where there is bickering, productivity drops.
So marriage is a key factor. Okay, so how did you navigate the challenges of doing business, investing in a, I don't want to call our society an extremely lawless society, but we understand the things that happen in our own part of the world. How did you manage to do your business and to thrive in a society like ours?
Well, I've mentioned when I treated the thriving in hard times, how to survive hard times. I mentioned that times has always been hard, but there is always a chance to succeed when you give yourself to it. Struggling through hard times. There is no society that is completely lawless. If there is anarchy, we saw it during the ENSAS protest. When lawlessness, you see lawlessness for 2 days. If that thing lasted 2 weeks, there will be no Nigeria. So in 2 days of lawlessness, you can enter any house, you can police the burnt police station, destroy. No nation can try. No business can be done. Like that is an example of what lawlessness look like. A nation going through war, like when you watch Syria, you see lawlessness. When a nation is at that stage, you can't talk of business. So Nigeria is not a lawless society.
Okay.
Nigeria will still have regulations, except that a lot of people are looking for shortcuts. They don't want to go through that process. Due process always appear long. But you know, in my video on shortcut, I said the shortcuts are usually very long cut at the end of the day. Because I grew up learning that if you are too much in a hurry that you cannot wear your shirt once, you wear it inside out so that you wear it twice. So nature teaches us that we need to be patient with the system. The procedures and processes will appear to be slowing you down. But if you are patient enough to allow it to run its full course, you are better off for it. Somebody goes to build a house. Because you don't want to pay for planning approval, you bribe and you build. At the end of the day, government will come, they demolish it. And you don't have any place to run to. You say your house has been demolished. You bribe your way through to build along waterways. It will come down someday. Those are the shortcuts that I see people do. You bribe your way through to pass your examination. You are not able to defend your certificate at any interview. What have you gained? You can't go back to school. Your mates are already thriving ahead of you. So I encourage everyone, all our followers, all our listeners, everyone, shun shortcut, be law abiding, follow processes through, and you'll be better off for it.
Sorry. Wow, thank you so much, sir. Yeah, okay. I think that I've had a really, really, really wonderful feast of fat things, a number of things to feed upon. And for me, I know that there are many things I've already decided that I'm going to implement once I leave here. And I believe that's the same for many people watching us and listening to us. They would take certain decisions as well. Thank you so much, sir. You're such a blessing, huge blessing to this generation.
Thank you for honoring our invitation to this episode and helping us to flag off the interview session of our podcast. I expect that our followers, our listeners, are also as enriched as you are.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for staying tuned to the Candid Cast in this episode. We see you again next week. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and click the notification button. Our episode will reach you again next week.
Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for more exciting episodes ahead.
We appreciate your support and can't wait to share more insights with you soon.